Hello and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we talk about what happened last week.
Holy fuck.
In the geeky space. As always, I'm your co-host Dom, aka Brother Dom, and once again I am joined by my nice adjective co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi everyone, I am Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snowqueer on Tumblr, and it has been a fucking week.
It's been a week, y'all.
This one, we shipped this explicit, but just buckle in.
Yeah, so it's, wow. So, there's no beating around the bush, obviously, if you follow our work at all, or any work at all, or if you've seen the internet or a newspaper. You know about good old United States of America, and we had an election last week, and it didn't go the way a lot of us had
planned or hoped.
I'll say hoped. I think we should have been planning for it. Now, guys, we got Trump as a president elect, and it's beyond not just not getting your way. It's scary for a lot of people. And I know this is supposed to be an entertainment show, and we fully intend to do that. Yeah, but it's difficult, you know,
yeah,
for a lot of us.
It's been hard to dig into the, like to care about my comic books and stuff like that. Like, I only made myself go to the comic book shop on Wednesday night because I hadn't seen a friendly face, like, since the election results. And I just needed to go be around people who also like the same things as me. Like,
isn't it a shame, though, to think about your, like, normally this would be a funny thing to point out, but like since the results, I'm like, that was less than 24 hours. And one would hope that 24 hours wouldn't be enough time for people to go out of their fucking mind. But people decide to go out of their damn mind and be shitty to people within a small amount of time. So it's been hard. So that's why last week's Geekly was late. That's why there wasn't a character reveal last week. So my apologies on not being more proactive to have things done in advance. I can't really apologize for not having the mental strength to get through it, but I will apologize for not being ahead of the schedule. But we're here to entertain people to an extent. You know, that's kind of what we're doing as podcasters. So I guess it's beyond being scared for the future and laughing as a coping mechanism because it's not funny at all. Sometimes people need a break from everything, and, you know, in these kind of times, you don't want to, you can't forget about these things. I can't forget about the fact that there's a racist, xenophobic, sexist, homophobic, transphobic leadership about to pretty much take full control of the government, so I can't forget about that, even if I chose to. But
we
can't ignore it.
But you have to find solace somewhere.
Yeah, so when I decide to talk about a Sonic the Hedgehog joke or share Joe Biden memes or just laugh at the bullshit that's going to be Ghost in the Shell, buckle in, we're talking about it. It's kind of a reprieve. And don't let people tell you how to
feel
good mental health. Yeah.
It's
going to be scary times, but we're here through it and we're not here to coddle people or say, oh, hey, this isn't your fault that this went badly. We're not here to say, hey, just give it a chance, because fuck it, like, people have not been giving us a chance for a multitude of reasons
for almost a decade now.
Yeah, like, so we're not gonna do that, but we are gonna talk about some geeky stuff. And if it sounds like we're unfazed at any point later on, that's us being professionals, because I'm fucking terrified.
Yeah, I've been a wreck and I don't know when that's gonna stop. Like,
so a lot of this is for you guys, but I'd be lying and saying that there's not a little bit of narcissistic. I need this catharsis. So
yeah, there's definitely a part of it. It's just the routine of recording and having this conversation and just kind of losing ourselves and talking about something fun is like therapeutic in its own way.
Absolutely. It's absolutely necessary. So, you know, I have a drink right here, and cheers to staying strong, because we're going to have to.
Yeah, and
we're going to be there fighting.
Yeah, it's worth saying, if it's not implied in everything we talk about, but we are going to try to remain as dedicated to our own, what's a good word, what's the word,
our own well-being?
Our own well-being, but also to our,
commitment to you guys?
Our commitment to the listeners and our commitment to our own moral stances.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to go back on my morals.
Yeah, I'm not going back on anything. I'm going to fight as hard as I can as to make sure that changes that happen are not bad, that changes, the good changes do happen. Not laying down on this one.
That's good. And you may hear some background noise. My brother and roommate are reacting to the Steelers game right now. I hope it's positive. I have no clue. We all find our ways to cope. Speaking of people, because we have to get into the show at some point, so let's talk about people who did have a real weird moral way to look at the world. So Saturday Night Live happened, and I think Saturday Night Live is playing in a moral minefield of saying, guys, we're kind of responsible for normalizing this horrible monster man. And, you know, I wonder if the actors on SNL are the ones to blame. I don't think that they are necessarily.
I think it's
Lorne Michaels.
I think that SNL took a slightly harder stance on criticizing Trump than other talk shows did.
Yeah, I just worry that, you know, they did have him on before, so I think
having him as a host was
super not bueno, as correct. Some people might say. But no, so Kate McKinnon opened SNL, and she was having no games. She was still in her Hillary costume, I think, because, again, we all have our things. But she did Hallelujah by
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen, who had passed away as well. So if Hillary losing the election wasn't enough to make you sad, or if Leonard Cohen wasn't enough, like, let's sing a sad song.
Sing, like, the saddest song, the most bittersweet song in the history of America.
With no jokes were there, and that's a very strange way to... Normally, SNL's not funny during its opens by accident.
Also, I want to catch you there and say that you said Leonard Cohen also died this weekend, as though, like, the other thing that died this week was our hopes and dreams.
That's true.
So
that was the implication.
But yeah.
2016 hasn't been horrible enough.
I wept like a fucking baby, because that song is sad enough to begin with, and, like, in the context of Hillary losing, was not uplifting, let's say.
You want to know what's I am a Kate McKinnon fan. Mm-hmm. Now, I always found the adoration of her to be sort of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Not her, just the adoration of her, for a whole list of reasons that I won't be able to articulate correctly. And I'm good at keeping myself composed. I very rarely cry or get too teary-eyed, even when I try to, for stage purposes. But I sat through the tribute like, this is really sad and powerful. But I was fine until she turned the camera and, like, had to introduce the show.
Uh-huh, like, and she, like...
She was fighting back
tears. She was choked, like, up, too.
Damn. So that was rough. And then Chappelle came out and, in my opinion, killed it, as he always does. I have a lot of respect for him as a comedian and think he is... He's great at making jokes about the political climate that don't seem to normalize it.
Mm-hmm.
He did close out his monologue by saying, you know, he gave a really good monologue about how black people have always been disenfranchised from being in the White House to a huge extent. And seeing all the black people in there recently at a party he was at kind of gave him hope for the future. So in that spirit, good luck to Trump, but on the condition that you also give us a chance. Didn't feel like the whole, to me, and people might disagree, and you're welcome to, it felt to me like that was a, hey man, I'm hoping this guy does a good job, but at the same time, you better do right by us or I have no patience for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is different than saying, like, let's give him a chance. Like,
yeah, it didn't feel like that to me. I think some people might see it that way, but...
But you don't think that was the intent?
I don't think that was the intent so much. It was like a... I think there's a little bit of defeatedness to a lot of us now, which, like, I'm not trying to give this man a chance, but there's like a, I just hope that he does a good enough job that we, like... It's not about, oh, I hope he goes down as one of the best. It's like, I really, for my sake, hope that he does a good enough job.
Yeah.
that just comes from a different place of being.
And like
he did.
It's also just this is derailing from SNL, but like the fact.
Hey, don't worry. SNL is derailed from itself enough times.
The fact that like. Of all the people in the entire country that he could have picked for vice president, he picked the one person who would, like, guarantee that we would be more terrified of him resigning or, like, stepping away or getting shot or impeached or something.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people like, talking, like, that was the best way to ensure that you don't get assassinated, so...
Because...
Good strategy, I guess.
Because, like, Trump's, like, he's a demagogue and he's full of himself and... Like, all of the ists that you mentioned above, but, like, Pence knows how government actually works. And he knows how to... Like, he knows how to implement the nasty things that he wants to do, whereas Trump is just throwing things out there and hoping they stick, like, his shit sticks to the wall. Like...
I absolutely believe he would do all the things he said he would, if yeah. he could. I don't think he has the... I don't have the word for it. I don't think he has the cunning... You know what word I'm looking for. The competence. I don't think he has the competence to get all that stuff through. So let's hope that he is as incompetent as we hope in the way that we need him to be.
Yeah.
But back on to SNL, the competent stuff was Chappelle. Spoilers, I guess. Just do people care about Saturday Night Live spoilers? He did a good... There was a skit where he was... you know, people have been asking all week, is Chappelle going to do his characters? Is he not from Chappelle's show? It's, I don't know. Should he? Shouldn't he? Who knows? But he did a skit where he was Negan from The Walking Dead. And the visual of Dave Chappelle dressed as Negan with the slick back hair is enough of a joke that you could just stop right there and I'm laughing. But he went by and was trying to... He had all the characters convince him why they shouldn't die, but it was all his old characters.
Uh-huh.
Which included Tyron Biggums, which was the crackhead character. Two of the time haters, which essentially were people that were pimps, but decided to just... hate on each other and then go back in time and hate on historical figures. His white face character, which is just like his pretty much he reinvented the white guy voice. And then Little John, who's a real person, obviously, but he had a Little John. And did you ever see the first episode of Chappelle's Show?
No, I don't think so.
It's the one where he made the black white supremacist who was blind his whole life.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
So that was his first episode. He's like, yeah, I'm going to have that character too. And I was like, that's literally a 15-year throwback. So it's nice to see all these characters back and him still be able to play them. And they didn't censor the N-word this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Which Chappelle used pretty fairly and so did A Tribe Called Quest in the music. So I thought it was a very interesting way to put people, to make people uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
It always throws me off how... uncomfortable white people get by hearing the n-word on TV, not because it's not a disgusting word, because but it's like this isn't a word against you, and you seem to be more mad that someone it goes back to the whole thing before. You sound more mad that someone said a dirty word than what the implications of it are from certain people. But you know, make these races as uncomfortable as they made us. I have no problem with that. So
yeah, for
and then
sure.
He also had a non-political sketch with Kate McKinnon. It was so cringy and terrible to look at on purpose. That was the goal. It was awful. It was so gross. You should totally watch it. I mean, have you ever wanted to see Dave Chappelle and Kate McKinnon tongue kiss each other?
I cannot say I ever have.
Well, you know, if they want to make the racists uncomfortable, along with the liberals and the conservatives and the Democrats and Republicans and... the moderates and everybody else, everyone was not pleased to see that on purpose. And to their
for each benefit, for whatever of their reasons.
And Keenan was there. So, you know, do you have anything else to say about all this?
I mean, I could talk for several hours about this, but I'd rather not. I feel like I've had the same conversation with, like, everyone I've talked to since Wednesday, so... It's in the not that I'm yelling at you for it. I just mean I'm guessing that probably our listeners have also been having the same
absolutely
conversations. So
before we go to this break, to be somber and not sad, is somber also sad? Are those synonyms?
Somber is just kind of serious with a hint of sad, but not necessarily directly sad.
Perfect. That's exactly what I'm going for. So listeners, we appreciate you guys getting this far into this sad ass episode, and following us for 6-7 episodes of Geekly Reveal and up and getting into the 20s of character reveal. That's, you know, that's the feed this is on. We, you know, we really appreciate you guys sticking with us and giving us a chance, whether it's, you know, all the guests we've had on who have, some of us has given a chance for no reason whatsoever. Some of us have given, some people have given us a chance because we occupy, certain gender demographics or racial demographics or sexuality demographics. We appreciate that. The people that just know us in real life, to the people that we've barely even exchanged pleasantries with, thanks for sticking with us. You know, we're really here, you know, the mission of Character Reveal. You know, ever since that gaming problem happened a few years ago, Black Lives Matter has started, all these things that have been horrible, especially on the internet. You know, it's hard to be awful to another person if you see them as a person. And that's kind of what Character Reveal is. We're trying to make people, we want people to see our humanity. You know, it's hard to get past racism and sexism, of course, but there's also the level of that person's just an online celebrity. And we've always been, I want to break down through that. And Geekly Reveal is kind of our, just to keep giving you guys content and just kind of have fun a little bit. But, you know, that's, we're here to do some entertaining stuff. So everyone who's stuck by so far, the ultimate gratitude to you. I hope you stick through another 6 of these and another 20 of Character Reveal and beyond. I had some kind of poignant point, but I forgot about it, and I'm just kind of pouring my heart out to you all. It really means a lot. So, you know, keep staying strong, and we're going to keep staying strong for you guys the best we can.
Yeah, and, definitely.
You got anything else, Steph?
No, I think you wrapped it up there.
Okay. Well, let's get back to some normalcy. Here's a music break. We're going to get, this is going to be fun one. We're going to go into something fun. We're not going to be cliche and go somber with music. It's, here's something fun. So you're hearing it now. Hopefully it's loud and pumping, and we'll be back. Hey guys, welcome back from the break. You like that music? I really hope you like that music, because chances are it's a song I liked and that's why I picked it. But as always, the information will be in the show notes so you can find the title, the artist, and where to find it. Go support artists. Don't steal their music. If it's free, why don't you go give them a comment and say, hey, that music you made, that was the jam. And they'll be like, hey, thanks. Or, hey, thanks. Or they'll say it in a different language, so, but it'll probably mean the same thing. So we're back with the next segment of our show, because it's segments, and we have, what would we call this, the news section?
Usually we split the news between the first two sections by theme, but the first week's theme, or the first section's theme tonight was kind of like, oh god, the apocalypse cometh.
It was our comedy section. Saturday Night Live is a comedy program. That's all we talked about, was just Dave Chappelle and Kate McKinnon being amazing people. And now we are on the on the non-comedy section.
Oh, okay. But let's do that then. So
thank you, Jim Beam.
So what do you want to talk about first? We've got a bunch of interesting stuff.
Well, I think you have all the expertise this weekend, so I'll start it off anyway. So Young Justice season 3 got announced. That's good news, right?
So Young Justice was originally canceled. I mean, I actually never watched Young Justice. It's on my list, as are like 90 million other TV shows. But Young Justice was originally canceled for the explicit reason that too many girls liked Young Justice, and girls don't buy action figures.
Was that the one show that was actually explicit about that?
Yeah, that was they went, like, there was like a leaked corporate meeting something that was like, yep, that was the reason. That's why they did it. Goodbye, Young Justice.
So like in the last 10 years, someone found Tumblr and fan fiction and like, oh wait, women totally buy things and love things, and also that's a stupid fucking reason for canceling a show.
Yeah. So they haven't actually, it's in development. And like, I'm very happy for Young Justice fans, even though I am not yet a Young Justice fan, because I'm pretty sure that the second season ended on like a horrible cliffhanger. So I'm excited that they will have that wrap up and more of their good show. But actually, it hasn't found a network yet. They think maybe it might go to Netflix or something, or like a streaming service, but
that's an amazing idea.
It's being developed, but they haven't decided who's going to air it. I don't know if they don't trust Cartoon Network with it anymore.
Would you? Would you trust the network that got rid of Teen Titans for Teen Titans Go? Which has its moments, don't get me wrong, but it can't compare to the first one because the first one was amazing.
No, yeah. But well, that's the thing. Like, I feel also, though, that like the Cartoon Network, I mean, even if the execs are all the same people, like the Cartoon Network that exists now feels like a very different beast from the Cartoon Network that exists when Young Justice was canceled.
Actually, yeah. If it's the same execs, yeah, Steven Universe still exists, and there's no way that show's not explicitly like, this is for gay girls.
Yeah.
That's what that show is for. Okay. Yeah. I still love it. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad it's back, but I probably won't watch it because that would violate my rule of not giving a crap about DC, so I hope it's awesome. Cool. So what else we got this week? So let's go to I don't know what's next.
Let's just go straight down the list.
Yeah, Miyazaki's out of retirement for another movie, right?
He's coming out of retirement for something that he's apparently been working on since he was retired anyway. This is not the first time he's come out of retirement. Like, the man just can't, like, for all of the stating that anime was a mistake.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he continues to keep making that mistake, I guess.
Well, to be fair, his anime is not a mistake.
Correct.
I'm not saying he's a narcissist. I'm just saying that, despite never have seen any of his films.
No, his anime are excellent.
They're gorgeous.
They're beautiful. They're meaningful. They are the like exact opposite of like a Gainax anime.
Their anime is beautiful, Stephanie. Don't ever in your life, in my presence, besmirch their animation skills. Their content is trash. But. They have given multiple people many, many chances to cosplay. And to put this in perspective, here comes some bullshit. They have given multiple black people canon cosplays we can do, which people can't shame us for doing, with mm-hmm. Garter Belt and Gamagori, mm-hmm. and the assistant, I can't remember her name. Because she was in 4 episodes in Kill la Kill, but she even has dreads, so there's her. They have given a lot of women the chance to wear outfits that are canonically extremely scandalous, in air quotes. So they've given people the ability to express their sexuality.
That's a very genteel way to. They've given women scanty outfits, like that's like a.
Reed Richards couldn't make the reach that I'm making right now, but I'm going for it, damn it. But also giving people the ability to not have to do those outfits that way, because everybody has more than one outfit in those shows. And if someone in their studio would just say, you could be Pajama Ryuko and only have butt crack. Like, you don't have to have everything shown. Good lord. Yeah, Miyazaki is far, he has far more emotionally more resonant and quality content than that, yeah.
So, yeah.
I just wanted to make that joke. It was there.
Yeah, so apparently the movie is something about a caterpillar, and I'm sure it'll be very sweet and heart-wrenching and environmentally friendly and make us all think and cry and do all of the things that Miyazaki movies often make us do.
Yes. I think we all need a nice cry in 2017. I'm sure nothing else will make us cry that year.
I'm sure.
Or whenever else it's going to get released. I should have watched. He made what? Did he make Kiki's Delivery Service?
Yes.
I saw a part of that. I should actually watch that. Witches are cool.
Witches are cool. Kiki's Delivery Service is actually one of my sister's favorite movies growing up. I know she doesn't listen to this, so I can feel safe in saying that I'm going to get her Barnes & Noble started carrying like a line of Studio Ghibli, like Miyazaki figurines and like collectibles for in like within their all of their like neat collectibles stuff. So I'm pretty sure that's what I'm going to get her for Christmas.
Cool. Well, hey, Steph's sister, if you actually did listen to this,
spoiler alert.
Just tell Steph you heard it so it's not a surprise. So no one wants to pretend to be surprised. It's trash. It's awful. Well, I do look forward to seeing that, and I do look forward to seeing those collectibles. Is that on Netflix, by the way?
I have no idea. I have it on VHS.
What the hell's that? I'm kidding. There's people that are not going to know that answer. There's people alive that this will be their first non-black president. Anyway, speaking of race changing, let's talk about Ghost in the Shell.
Wow, that was a smooth-ass transition. Holy shit.
Look at me.
Look at you go. Yeah, go. So
I'm in my element.
In a microcosm. What?
I said, I'm in my element. It's the fifth element. You know, earth, air, ground, water, puns. Yeah, tell me about Ghost in the Shell. I've never seen the anime, but I know that Scarlett Johansson's not an anime character, so.
Yeah, so. What do we got going on with this? I've seen Ghost in the Shell movie, which was, I believe, the first thing. Then there's an additional anime called Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which was Ghost in the Shell full stop was just a movie. It was like a feature-length movie, and then Standalone Complex was like a series, like a half-hour episode series.
Okay.
Both of which revolve around Major Motoko Kusanagi, who is a member of a squad in the Tokyo Security Force. It's cyberpunk, basically. It's like okay. A Blade Runner-esque kind of futuristic universe where lots of people have like android upgrades to some extent, and the Major is just her brain. Like, her entire body is a robot.
Okay.
But it's
only her body that's a robot?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and she's one of the only people who has such like a complex and thorough cyborg attachment. Like, most people just have like some like robot eyes or something like that. Like,
okay.
But anyway, they fight cyber crimes, and the big part of the plot is that during the I think it's during the series and not in the movie, but there's a cyber terrorist called the Laughing Man who is like hacking people's bodies that are supposed to be completely secure, but he's hacking people's bodies and causing all kind of terror because he's a terrorist.
That sounds amazingly interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating series. It's considered like an absolute classic of anime, which is probably why they were like, hey, let's make a movie out of this.
In their defense, that was an amazing idea. Ah, it was an alright idea.
Yeah, so there are a couple shots in the trailer. The first full-length trailer was released today with, for some reason, like a 15-second clip of Scarlett Johansson saying how excited she is to play the Major.
That was odd to me.
Butted against the front of the trailer, which I feel like at this point, given the outcry about it, you should be fucking downplaying it as much as possible.
They're trying to scapegoat her so that they don't feel bad about it. That's what's going on.
So
she wanted to do it.
The trailer starts out with a shot that is based very much on the anime. Like, it happens in the first episode, if I'm recalling correctly. And take everything I'm saying about the show with a grain of salt, because it's been 4 or 5 years since I have watched any of it. But the Major, because her body is entirely robot, has like a lot of like fancy upgrades built into her. Like, if she's not wearing any clothes, she can be invisible. Like, that kind of thing. Hashtag anime logic. So like Scarlett Johansson, the first shot of her in the trailer is her like taking off her, like she's not wearing any clothes under her trench coat, but she has like a robot body. Like, it's like a Barbie doll kind of like smooth, like nippleless, like porcelain looking body. And so she throws off her trench coat and jumps off a building, which is something that she does, that Kusanagi does do, and then like infiltrates this like whatever like terrorist meeting or something and starts running up the walls and shooting people and stuff. But like, even knowing, first of all, like knowing that that's something that is kind of from the anime, it still made me uncomfortable watching, like, a completely nude, like, Barbie doll porcelain Scarlett Johansson. Like, as someone who is attracted to Scarlett Johansson, it made me uncomfortable watching her running around buck-ass nude shooting people.
Yeah, it felt weird. Like, it would have, like, the fan service that, like, she normally does feels less weird, I think, because it's... Because I don't think this was supposed to be fan service at this point, like... And that made it really weird. They're like, no, this still is. Like, I don't know. It was very uncomfortable.
And, like, also, there had to be a different way. You know, like, it feels almost like the quiet thing. Like, oh, I have to breathe through my skin, so I'm wearing not many clothes. Like, if everyone has...
She didn't turn invisible, so, like, it...
Like, if, yeah, but purpose. I mean, like, if anyone had... Like, if, yeah, like, if people have cyborg eyes and you build a robot... around a human brain, like a cyborg around a human brain, so that a person could remain alive. There's got to be a better way to be invisible than her being buck-ass naked. This isn't like an 80s anime anymore. Like,
So does she need to be naked to turn invisible, or can she just not turn her clothes invisible?
She just can't turn her clothes invisible.
That's okay. See,
which is like,
it's understandable. You think they would like, these are also cyber clothes, but
yeah, I mean, like, and that's a trope that like. That runs through a lot of, like, Invisible Man stories. Like, even, like, the H.G. Wells character had to take his clothes off. Like, the Hollow Man or whatever had to take his clothes off. Like...
Don't watch that movie.
Don't watch that movie. The kid in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children has to take his clothes off to be invisible. Like, the clothes are not imbued with whatever power makes these people invisible. But in a cyberpunk reality...
Except for Susan Storm.
Yeah.
Because Reed Richards is a genius.
Yeah. But, and all of that is... You know, part and parcel to the fact that Scarlett Johansson is not fucking Japanese. And...
She's actually not, yeah.
She's incredibly not Japanese. Like, she is about the... As far... She's the Johansson's Dutch name.
There's Tilda Swain.
Well, I mean, like, Tilda Swain's incredibly not, incredibly not Chinese. Both of them are about as demographically far from Asian...
That's
as
fair.
You can literally get, like, Johansson's a Dutch, or, like a Scandinavian-sounding name, like, Tilda Swinton's super Celtic, like...
Scandinavian, no, okay, never mind. I was thinking of, Eastern Europe for some reason. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no. So, like, here's the thing. If you're going...
Friends.
If you're going to fucking... And they call her the Major. They never call her Major Motoko Kusanagi, because... Motoko Kusanagi is a fucking Japanese name, but I almost feel like it would have been better if they were going to whitewash the character to maybe, you know, like...
Give her a white name, at least.
Well, I mean, they just call her the Major, which presumably they just are not giving her a person name, like a human name. But the movie is still set in Japan with, like, a very, like, Japanese, like, kind of almost orientalist aesthetic. Like, if you're going to race lift the main character and say that you're like, you just cast like the best person, and like that Ghost in the Shell is a universal story that isn't unique to Japan,
then just tell it in America,
then just tell it in a different fucking country.
Like it wouldn't have been that
literally
hard,
like anywhere in Europe, anywhere in America. Like,
Well, not in America, because then we would have thought Lucy and no one would have seen it.
True, but like... like,
I see what you're... I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, if you're... You can't whitewash the main character and then keep the entire culture as like a window dressing, because...
I think that's what the problem is, because...
Yeah.
I had a discussion with a friend the other day, and they were like, yeah, they definitely have this problem where they want to whitewash the main characters of anime movies. But then it gets to this weird discussion, which, you know, was neither of our place to really have any authority on, but I do pose this. He was like, you know, anime characters typically don't look Asian either. And I'm like, well, how do you figure? And he's like, well, anytime they draw someone who's supposed to be Asian, or like a white dude or a black person, they always draw them super stereotypically. Like, when there's like an old Asian man in anime, they draw him to look like a stereotypically old Asian man. But everybody else has, like, that generic anime style, which is how you get people like Krillin and Goku looking the same, even though one of them's literally an alien and one of them is, like, a little bald guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, all the black people have exaggerated lips. And even, like, the white dudes have, like, a specific haircut or are really tan. But then, like, if someone... Is that... That's a... It seems like a weird thing to me. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, it's a conversation that people have been having about anime for, like, as long as anime has been available in the US. Like, whether...
Like, don't get me wrong, that doesn't give them the license to whitewash characters, because if, like you said, if they whitewash the whole cast, you're like, eh, okay. But it's like, no, they're just doing it with the main character, like, just Goku, not the whole Dragon Ball Evolution. It was just Goku.
Yeah. One guy. So, like, part of the, you know, part of the anime aesthetic is actually based on Disney, because the, Osamu Tezuka, who did, Astro Boy and, like, a bunch of other, like, very influential early anime in the 50s and 60s, was very influenced by Disney's art style. And so that's why the stereotype is to have, like this, like the huge expressive, like wobbly eyes and like the like cutified features and that kind of thing. So like it falls back on a Western aesthetic because that was, I mean, it was the 50s, it was post-war Japan, like that was the like the dominance, like America was the dominant media producer for that kind of thing, and that's where people were drawing their inspiration from.
Okay.
It's kind of the same as, like, seeing, like, Western beauty standards in, like, Asian beauty products and stuff, like whitening creams and stuff. Like, there's a, like, so it's difficult to say, like, oh, well, Asian characters in anime, like, are kind of racially ambiguous because it's kind of the fault of the West, again, that they are in some ways. And also, like...
That makes sense.
I don't know if that is getting at your point. But
it completely is. That's it's just like interesting. Like, it doesn't give them license to do these things in movies, but I'm just wondering why. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it. It just seems like it's an interesting part of that animation.
Yeah, and I think, and even if you look at the characters and say, like, oh, they're drawn to look white, like, they're still clearly Japanese characters in that they have Japanese names, and they experience Japanese culture, and they use Japanese like cultural norms, like, so like,
well, they're in Japan,
you know,
still.
Like, they're still in Japan, so like, just because they have purple hair and like huge sparkly eyes does not mean like they're not intended by the author to be Asian.
Sure.
In the same way that like in Full Metal Alchemist, like the main character's not supposed to be Asian, like it's set in like a Western Germany kind of thing, and when people from the like Asian country come to it, people from Jing come, they look Asian,
which is is a wild concept to me that
and yet
anime style just literally unites every race and culture of people until they don't want them to, and then these artists find out how talented they really are, that they can draw a person to look like a subculture,
and then
not the like from that you've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm. And yet the Full Metal Alchemist live action movie that's going to come out is being cast entirely with Japanese people.
Of course,
of all the movies,
because
of all the movies where they actually could cast, although. People keep talking about that, and I haven't seen whether or not it's an American company making it, or whether it's just, like, if someone in Japan is making an adaptation of it. Because if it's a Japanese adaptation, that it, like, it doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't feel revolutionary that they're casting it all with Japanese people, you know? Right. Like, but,
you know,
like,
what I would love, and I pray, that all, like, the Europeans in the Full Metal Alchemist movie are played by Asian actors. And all the Asian actors are played by anybody else. Just as like a, we really just wanted to be that guy.
We just wanted to help with you. but yeah, I mean, like the Rurouni Kenshin live action movies and the Attack on Titan live action movies are Japanese made movies, and all the characters are played by Japanese people because they made them in Japan.
Sure.
They're not Hollywood movies, so I don't know whether or not, I don't think the Fullmetal Alchemist movie is a Hollywood made movie, which is probably why they are able to be casting actual Japanese people in it.
Would people get mad about that though? Would they call that whitewashing?
What, the Fullmetal Alchemist movie?
Yeah, if we casted that with white people, would that be, like, do you think people would get upset?
I don't think so. I mean, I think...
Just since it's anime, you mean?
Well, I mean, it's anime, but typically, I mean, like, it's anime that is completely acknowledged to be set in a non-Asian culture and society, okay. And people. Like, it's very clear that the fantasy world that they live in is not Japanese, even though, like, they sometimes use Japanese cultural, like, phrases and stuff, because that's something that the audience was familiar with. Like,
sure.
like the words they say before you eat a meal and, like, that kind of thing. Like, before you enter a room. But...
Okay.
But those kind of things aren't those are more there in Fullmetal Alchemist as just like a cultural, or just like a, that's how you would expect people to say a thing, rather than this is...
Well, yeah, it's like anytime aliens come into a movie, they just happen to speak the language that the viewer speaks.
Yeah.
Even though that makes absolutely zero sense.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we discussed it on the show before that we don't find Scarlett Johansson to be the most greatest actress to begin with. So, let's hope she does a good job.
Yeah.
Because the movie still...
I don't even know
it
about...
It looked acceptable, I guess.
Yeah, like, I feel like it just looked acceptable. Like, some of the other characters, I think, were very poorly translated from anime to... live action, like Bato, who has like the like bullety looking eyes, like looks really goofy.
Ugh.
Like he does not look like a serious like police officer-y character with his little bullet eyes.
So they're not really doing justice to this series, like in any way, shape, or form. It seems like
no, I don't think so. And also, like the Laughing Man is not. If the villain of this movie is actually the Laughing Man, they went super grim dark with him because I mean, like he is a scary character, like what he does is scary, but he always appears in the show. He rarely appears in person, and when he does, when you see him, he's actually he just, because everyone has some kind of bionic, he hacks the feeds to speak through other people, like their face will glitch out on a newsfeed or something, and his like weird mask that he wears will appear and he'll talk through that. Like,
oh, that's dope.
So, and then like the mean character, like the bad looking character in this movie, looks like a ratchety old robot. Like, I don't know what the deal is. So, like, okay. A scary robot in a kimono robe thing. Like,
oh, yeah. I saw, I didn't know, I had no idea what I was watching. I just watched it for context.
So,
well, you know, I mean, it's, we shouldn't keep using, you know, Asian
culture as window
culture
dressing.
As a dressing, but I guess there are ways to do that to more acceptable degrees, and you could do that by fighting kaiju. That transition wasn't as smooth as the last one, but let's talk about Pacific Rim.
So, okay, so in the last week, we have received the... well, first, actually, let me start with a disclaimer. I fucking love Pacific Rim. I know that it was, like, that some people think it was a garbage movie, and I don't think the Pacific Rim was trying to do more than Pacific Rim said on the tin. Like, Pacific Rim was a movie about giant robots fighting alien dinosaurs, and it had like great themes of cooperation, like international cooperation, and like people of different nationalities coming together to use giant robots to punch space dinosaurs, and that's something I can get behind.
I've been meaning to watch it, because I've seen like parts of it, and it was super dope to see, and I really like the actors and actresses in that movie.
Yeah, it's a great cast. It's got like, and I don't know, I don't even want to say that all of them are great actors, but they really just, they're giving it their all. I really enjoy their parts. The fandom got really weird really fast because one of the screenwriters was like excited to engage with the fandom that he necessarily expected. But that, like, the fandom got on Tumblr real fast and got really excited. And the fandom devolved into this, like, weird kind of, like, eating itself mess because he turned out to be kind of an asshole. And the two characters that the fandom thought had, like, a, like, kind of, like, a slashy vibe in the movie, one of them turned out to have a wife who was not mentioned in the movie at all. And fandom started to eat itself about whether it was okay to erase the wife that was only in the prequel comic that not everyone had read in order to slash these two people, or whether it was sexist to do that. And it became a stressful place to be very quickly, which was frustrating because I really enjoyed the dynamic of these two guys that I wanted to slash. But
look, it's totally possible to slash people that are in relationships. Like, in my head canon, things just didn't work out and they're still good friends, but they realized they weren't right for each other. And that's why this ship works.
Yeah, see, exactly. There we go. See? All I have to do
no
in
one
any
has to
fandom.
Disappear.
Right? That's all.
Nobody has to stop existing.
And like, I also felt it was kind of gatekeepy to tell people that they couldn't erase a character who was only in a prequel comic that cost $25. Like, if you just saw the movie, you would have no idea that this one guy was supposed to be married. Like, it's not, it's like Apocrypha almost. Like, if you, like.
I will.
Like, I don't know.
I would say in the age of the internet, if you're like, hey, I ship these two people, and you're like, well, one of them's married, it was in the prequel comic, I think you're totally right to be able to say, well, I didn't read the prequel comic. They're like, that's fine, and I'm not saying that you should have. It was expensive. I'm just letting you know that this lore contains this character. That's
yeah, I feel like it's kind of like telling people they can't ship Han and Luke because Mara Jade exists. Like, okay, well, I didn't read it 900 Extended Universe, aka Legends novels. Like, I mean, and I actually have read 900 Extended Universe novels, and, like, I'm gonna go on doing what I fucking want to do. Like,
I'm gonna call a mulligan on the Star Wars ones because there's so much Extended Universe. There's like one prequel to one movie in the Pacific Rim fandom. I'll be like, hey, here's the wiki that explains it.
Yeah.
You can fix that in 20 minutes. I'm not reading 900 novels.
Yeah, okay. So
that also aren't canon anymore.
Yeah, true. So,
Sorry.
So anyway, getting back to the news about Pacific Rim. Last week, which I said before, and last week we have had, first of all, the subtitle of the movie. It'll be called Pacific Rim Maelstrom, which is an exciting, like, energetic, weathery word, like, violent thing, like a maelstrom.
Like a maelstrom.
A maelstrom. This is gonna be a fucking maelstrom, because there isn't, none of the original cast is coming back. Where's Ringo Kikuchi? Like... How are you going to have a Pacific Rim movie with none of the original cast?
Extended universe, right?
Like, well, that's the thing. Like, the other piece of news is that they've started filming this week, so maybe it'll act, like, I guess this movie is actually happening after many years of speculating about it. But the thing about it is, spoiler alert to you and anyone else who has not seen Pacific Rim all the way through, at the end of the movie, they close the hole in space-time. So that the kaiju can't come through anymore. And the premise of this movie, to what I understand, is that John Boyega is playing the Idris Elba character's... is playing...
That's what he's playing.
He's playing Idris Elba's Stacker Pentecost character's son, who is presumably dealing with the loss of, again, spoiler alert, his father in the first movie, and comes back to do something that involves giant robots punching something in order to honor his father's legacy. But, like...
Other giant robots?
I can't imagine that they would make a Pacific Rim movie that lacked giant robots punching things, but I don't know what they're gonna punch. Like, like, it would kind of undermine, like, the sacrifices that were made in the first movie to be like, oh, well, whoops, they didn't do a very good job in closing that dimensional rift, so...
Look, we need a... It was cool seeing giant mechs punch bad aliens, but we all know what we really wanted to see. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's what I want to see.
They made that movie, Dom. It had Hugh Jackman in it.
That wasn't... Okay. That movie should have been better, first off. No, but, like, one's piloted by... So there's actually stakes. Like, movie had no stakes. If I recall, Real Steel had no purpose. Like, oh, man, that guy's robot's going to beat up my robot. Are these sentient robots with souls? No. So why does it matter? It doesn't.
Well, I'm glad you remembered what it was called, because I just remembered that there was a movie with Hugh Jackman where robots punch each other.
You remember that it existed. I just remember seeing it. You know, to deviate for just like 5 more seconds, that movie apparently had a lot of backstory and lore, like in outside materials that no one knew about. So, go on.
That's bizarre. I'm excited for it, and obviously I'm going to support literally anything, especially anything sci-fi fantasy that John Boyega involves himself in, because he is bae. in a succinct word. But I don't know, I have literally no guesses to what the plot is going to be, because of the very, like, tied up neat with a bow nature of the first movie.
Maybe it'll be the plot to the beginning of Overwatch.
Does Overwatch have giant robots and space dinosaurs in it?
No, it doesn't have those machines, but I'm glad you asked. It just made me think, like, there's an Asian actress in that, and now a younger black guy is like, this could just be D.Va and Lucio, even though they're not the right ethnicity, they're not the right nationalities for it, but...
Do you think that D.Va and Lucio would be drift compatible?
Absolutely. Oh. Let's get into that in a different time. But no, they what they do is there's a big robot thing. They start building these robots that eventually start building themselves, and they have a big giant robot disaster. And giant robots, they have robot crisis everywhere in the world, but for some reason, giant robots keep coming out of the water right around South Korea, and that's what Redeemer comes in. Oh,
that's why Diva was the... She was like a StarCraft pro or something, right?
Yeah, because that skill translates perfectly to destroying giant mechs. But there were giant mechs running around, and they're like, we need to stop these. And, you know, John Boyega could be like, hey, Pacific Rim, we think we closed the hole, but just in case, let's build Jaegers that fight for us so that people don't have to, like, you know, be at risk. Mm-hmm. But, oh no, the Jaegers have gone rogue. Now we need to have our manned Jaegers fight the AI ones. Now we have a reason for big things to punch other big things.
There we go. Yeah, because like the...
What a maelstrom.
Oh my god. but yeah. I mean, also, like, I guess a maelstrom also typically involves some kind of whirlpool. So like maybe the dimensional rift is like sucking things down into it or something. Maybe they'll have to go through and punch kaiju in their own dimension. I'm just spitballing.
For the sequel, Pacific Rim, Cthulhu Strikes Back. Make it happen. Come on, Del Toro.
Alrighty.
Cool, we managed to stretch four topics into like 8 years of talking.
So, I hope you guys enjoyed that. There's some music happening, hopefully about now.
Yeah, you hear it right.
Yeah, we're gonna take another short break and then come back with our last little segment. So.
Yep. See you soon. The boom. Indicates to the brothers that we be on the flip tip. Summer 06 made a move to the Knicks, not for glamour or glitch, just to find the right pick. Square peg, round holes, I found those a challenge, but the mileage would be worth it if I found a balance. High on life, thought that I was on still, thin like a hip pinball machine, I was on tilt. Had to reset the score back to zero. Networking with people who hadn't heard of me before. Escape from the concrete jungle where they palm heat. Hit up K Murdoch and he hit me with a bomb beat. Told him we playing a different ball game. The fan base, the fame is about to all change. In a couple seconds of wrecking, I couldn't have dripped this out. Took this suspenseful route. They said you tripping like retirees. Man, what you trying to be? I don't know, I guess I'm still trying to find me. Create a legacy that just doesn't define me. And all the while, you were still right beside me. Things aren't never how they seem. Verily, verily, life is but a dream. Thoughts flowing through me like a stream. No matter where you go, don't forget your team. And my ears keep ringing. I'm tired and I'm weary, but I still keep singing. And I'ma still keep bringing the truth in song. So thank you for listening.
Alrighty, I hope that, as promised, you all, got some music there and enjoyed it. The artist information and all that will be in the show notes as usual. It means, now that we're back, it means it's time for our last little segment of the week. The cool shit we got segment. Dom, did you get any
cool shit we got?
Do you get any cool shit?
Yeah, I do. Ooh. Isn't it wild? I do. So I am going to keep talking about the Hamilton mixtape as long as we keep getting blessed with tracks from it. Y'all good with that? Two new tracks were released. It was Satisfied, a cover / remix. Less of a, not a full
more
remix,
of a,
but a little
more
bit.
Of a cover than a remix.
For sure. And then Immigrants, in parentheses, Get the Job Done or We Get the Job Done, which is not a remix or a cover. It's just a completely original song.
Just inspired by the line.
Yes. And it samples a little bit. Now, you heard Satisfied.
I did hear Satisfied, yeah.
How do you like it?
I like it. I think that I wish that it had been more of a remix and less of a cover. Because like Sia has a, is it Sia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She has a, well, I mean, it's just a pronunciation. I've never actually heard it said out loud.
Oh, I just assume it's Sia.
Yeah, Sia has a really like unique and like fascinating sound. And it's cool to see Queen Latifah like doing rap stuff. And I don't know who the guy on it is, but
it was Miguel.
Miguel,
with the most one of, with the second most insignificant addition to a song I've heard, the second most useless one on this album so far.
The first being
Nate Roos from the band Fun.
On the My Shot. The,
yeah, he does the whoa whoa.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's more useless, but. But yeah, like, Sia has, like, a really cool sound, and, like, she like really did a great job with the track, but I feel like it was just, it didn't transcend to pop from musical. Like it was just like she was performing the musical number, and I felt like it would have been more compelling if it had been more remixed, my take on it. But it, like, she did a tremendous job with it. Like, I, no shade on the performance, but just on more on the arrangement.
Yeah, it was, that's the thing, that's what, we're kind of in a weird space where they made something that was amazingly good. Now they have to try to figure out, do we directly cover this? No, because that's not really new enough. People don't care about that.
But how do you
fully remix? Yeah, where's the good zone?
Yeah, and it's also like obviously, like, Lin put this together. Like, he encourages this remixing, but like, it must be a hell of a daunting task to look at the Hamilton soundtrack and say, how can I change this to make it different and better? Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, you have to take a song that's a 10 out of 10 already and try to shoot for an 11 out of 10, which mathematically is impossible. And that's the thing. It's still a good remix cover. It's still good. It's really good.
Yeah.
You just kind of wonder, like, would I rather listen to this than Satisfied? Or would I be in a position where I'd want to hear this? And yeah. Not rather than Satisfied, but...
But I wouldn't be, like, pissed if it came on in a bar or something, you know, like...
Also, they did this really weird thing where Sia, by being the main singer, sings Angelica's part, and then Queen Latifah raps Angelica's part, and then Sia starts doing Eliza and Angelica, and then it's just like, I don't know, maybe there might have been a better way to do this. I would have rather heard Sia on, like, a Burn cover or something.
Yeah, I think that would have, I mean, that's her, kind of her,
that's her,
like,
strength,
yeah, her sure. strength, like, her kind of aesthetic, like, singing aesthetic is that kind of, like, burnt down kind of.
Like in Chandelier.
Yeah, like Chandelier.
When she sings Swing from Chandelier, that would have been perfect for Watch You Burn.
Yeah, exactly, so, I don't know, I like it.
Just gonna give it one fire emoji.
One fire emoji out of how many?
Out of three.
Out of three, okay. Yeah, I think, and I think it's also.
It's on Icicle.
Yeah. I think also the other thing is that it's weird to have it still be like, if they had just changed the names so that it wasn't specific to like the Hamilton story, you know, like, so it was just like a, like Sia singing about like a guy she met that she realized she couldn't have.
Right.
It might like.
But they do the thing, they call out the Schuyler sisters by name, which is interesting. Kelly Clarkson did not do that on It's Quiet Uptown, which I think did to her benefit to not.
Yeah,
their names.
Yeah, I think that divorcing it from the musical a little bit would, even if they had kept the orchestration exactly the same, divorcing it from the context of the Hamilton story might have helped that. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's so weird to hear the end of the song and not immediately hear "I may not live to see our glory." Like,
yeah,
not
like jump,
the
like yeah.
After, it feels weird.
So that's that.
If you want something with, if you want three flame emojis. Immigrants, We Get the Job Done is absolute fire. Like, you can go preview it. I think you can buy it off of any place where you can buy it. I don't know if there's any streams of it, but it's so good. It's a completely original song that riffs off the Immigrants, We Get the Job Done, and it's sampled in there. They sample Christopher Jackson as Washington saying the part about they just really mean freedom, and he says, "Not yet." And then it's kind of like people that are immigrants rapping about, like, yo. Like, we're badass, and we built this damn country, and it's just great music. It's so good. Definitely listen to it. Three flame emojis out of three.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Steph, did you get any cool shit this week?
So the cool shit I got this week, I didn't purchase or spend any money on, at least recently. When I moved to New York, my mom had to bring
city in the world.
The greatest city in the world. My mom had to bring all of my stuff out, and she amidst the 80 boxes or so of my crap that came out, happened to forget a few and some weird shaped cosplay stuff that didn't fit in boxes, like tridents.
Gross.
And shields and my slightly faulty Kylo Ren lightsaber that I got for free. Long story. So she came out to visit this weekend, so she brought all that stuff finally, and now I am faced with the unenviable task of figuring out where I am going to put it all in my apartment, because holy shit, my apartment is small, and I pretty much have everything slotted away like puzzle pieces at this point. And
oh,
like,
geez.
I'm not sure, like clothes and stuff, like my Elsa dress, like I put it in a dry cleaning bag and I hung it in the closet. Like, but like,
you have an Elsa dress?
I was Elsa at OhioCon at the year after it came out. We did a Frozen group.
I wasn't there, was I?
No, it was just me and Andrew and Sam, but we were Elsa and Anna and Kristoff.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
Oh yeah, I have an Elsa dress. I wore it for Barnes & Noble 2 years in a row too for the like dress up year or dress up month. Okay. But anyway, have an Elsa dress and like it I made it before the like so soon after the movie that there wasn't like a pattern or like it like Joann's didn't sell like fabrics that were good for Frozen costumes yet. So like I made it out of like $2 satin that I got at Walmart and then like completely just instead of making a bodice out of like sequin fabric, I just put down a bunch of Mod Podge and glued glitter to the dress. And it looks right. But I shed glitter all over the convention center that day. I shed glitter all over the Barnes & Noble when I
better when I than wore gray it to work. Paint though.
Yeah, and so it needed to go into a bag if it was going to go in my closet. But like stuff like my Homestuck horns, like they're delicate enough that I can't like throw them somewhere, but they're big enough that they can't just like be stuck in a drawer. So.
Oh, that makes it tricky.
Yeah, and I have like, and I also have a box of like, it's a relatively big box, and it's full of petticoats, like of different lengths and like poofinesses, and I have literally no idea where I'm going to fucking put it or any of the petticoats in it. So that's the stuff I got this week is a bunch of my own belongings that I now have to find a home for. One cool thing I'm going to do is I like some of the stuff, like I tucked the lightsaber behind my mirror and I did like manage to get like my big hat in my closet and like that kind of stuff. But I'm definitely, I have one of the years we went to New York Comic Con, we did a group where we were Disney princesses, but dressed as like restyled as like warriors. And we picked the three most like passive Disney princesses. We were Snow White as a ninja, Cinderella as like a military command, like an army commander, like a blue like army suit with like white epaulets and a crystal machine gun, and and I was Sleeping Beauty as like a knight, like with like plate armor and a shield and a sword and
knight.
But so I have that we made like this really cool ass shield, and I'm never gonna wear the costume again because it was so uncomfortable that I cannot bring myself to ever put it on my body again. I think I actually threw it away. But this shield we made is so cool. We like did like all kind of we made like a it's like a quartered shield with the blue and the pink and like a rising sun and like gold thorns and stuff. And I am gonna hang it on my fucking wall.
That sounds amazing.
Pictures. I'm very excited about it.
Yo, send me a picture of that. I want to see.
I'm gonna as soon as the I put the command hook up before we started recording, so hopefully by the time we're done, it'll have sealed itself to the wall enough that I can hang it up and it won't fall down on top of my computer.
That's good. You really need to seal the deal.
Hey.
Oh, laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
That's what Dr. Ziegler prescribed to me. Callbacks. Cool. Well, you got your cosplay stuff back. I didn't get anything this week besides that, but I rearranged my room. No one who's listening to this has seen my room, but just trust me, it's exciting. I finally put a dresser in my room and got my big TV on it, so
nice.
It kind of looks more like a room. I still have an extra mattress in here, but, you know, baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that sure was an episode.
Sure was.
Have anything else before we get going?
No, I think that's about it for me for this week, so.
Cool. Well, friends, if you want to hear more of us, as always, at Brother Dom, anywhere you want, I want to be found on the internet, it's T-H-A, not T-H-E-R, hard E-R, you're not going to find me. You can find Steph at Captain Steph on Twitter, or The Snow Queer on Tumblr.
Curiosity, have you ever searched for a Brother Dom and seen if there is someone out there?
Yes. I can't remember what I found. I do believe it was an African-American descended gentleman, but I can't remember the specifics.
Okay. Carry on.
Oh, yeah. You can find this podcast and our other podcast, which is the same feed, so essentially this podcast, on Twitter at Character Rev. So that's two R's in the middle, Character R-E-V. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can put our RSS feed into iTunes. We're still working on it. I think we finally got a lead on it. And if you want to hear some more long-form, kind of analytical, intersectional feminist stuff, you can go to the blog we write for, Lady Geek Girl and Friends. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And, you know, support them. Check out what we do there. It's, you know, a little bit more structured. I think I get everything, right, Steph?
I think so.
Cool. Well,
did you say Facebook?
I didn't say Facebook. Go find us on Facebook. It's Character Reveal. You'll know the logo. You'll be to see us. It's been a long week, so I'm gonna outro you guys with some music, just something kind of chill, just kind of relaxed. I already have something in mind, so I hope you guys like it too. You got anything else, Steph?
Nope, that's it for me.
Hey, well, everyone out there, stay strong, stay safe. Take care of yourself mentally as well.
Reach out to us if you need us.
Absolutely. We are always willing to lend a hand, at least a shoulder to talk to, cry on. So until next time, see you later.
Bye.
We'll be right back.